Chiefs extended pregame continuing right here, getting you ready for Super Bowl 59. Chiefs and Eagles later on at 5:30 approximately Central Time. Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris producing the show. We are now joined by Cody Tapp of Cody and Gold. Of course, you can listen 10 to 2 right here on 96.5 The Fan. Cody, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you joining the show. So we've talked about a ton of storylines and all of that other stuff. We haven't talked much about Travis Kelce, and I know who better else to ask than one Cody Tapp about Travis Kelce. We saw two different versions of Travis throughout these playoffs, where the Houston Texans version is tearing everything up, prime Travis Kelce, everything that we're used to. The Bills, he wasn't statistically effective, but he was extremely important to the success of the offense. Is that what version do you think we get of Travis Kelce in this game?
Probably depends a little bit on what they try to do defensively, because I thought Travis played great in the Bills game too. Like, look at him on the lead block on the touchdown run from Mahomes. They just ran a defense that was going to be man-to-man, and that exposed so the wide receivers were able to do whatever they wanted. I think Fangio, knowing his history and what he's done, I'm going to guess he goes to zone and that Travis Kelce probably has a bigger game. I like his numbers from like a betting angle, probably a little bit more than even Xavier Worthy's, two guys that I've bet on a lot this year. But Travis is obviously going to show up in the playoffs. He always shows up in the playoffs. And so I don't know that it'll be 10 for 120 or whatever it was in the first game. But I also don't think it's going to be like 2 for 20 like it was in the last. I think it's probably in that like 70, 80 yard range.
Will things work out like we thought they were in St. Joe? I've been calling them the St. Joe Chiefs, with Hollywood on one side, Xavier Worthy stretching the field, only opening up things for Travis Kelce, because that's what they were doing in St. Yep. Joe. That's what we expected this year. Will they return to the St. Joe Chiefs today?
I think that's been more what they've been over the last 3 weeks. So, like, if you go back and you look at his game against the Bills, it was statistically one of the single best games Patrick Mahomes has ever played from an efficiency standpoint. And that's where I feel like the really undersold part about what they're doing offensively now is, I think sometimes people think at their season numbers, mm-hmm. like, yeah, they were a fine offense or whatever. I'm like, they spent 90% of the year without Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
They spent 70% of the year trying to get a rookie wide receiver up to speed, all while resting Travis Kelce, et cetera, et cetera. The offense I've seen the last month is the best this offense has looked all year. So I expect more of that again. So, yeah, I think, Bink, that they like using – the only difference I'd say to the St. Joe Chiefs, Bink, is in St. Joe, they went deep ball after deep ball after deep ball after deep ball. And because of their trouble on the offensive line, I think they've established more their, like, ball control version. They've just kept the speed on the outside. The guys have a hard time tackling it. I think if they had a better offensive line, you'd see the ball go downfield more like in training camp. But all the rest of it's there.
Somebody texted in from the 816 asking if you're going to go to that birthday party today.
Yeah, well, my kid's going to go to the birthday party. So, Bink, if you missed it, my son was invited to a birthday party on Super Bowl Sunday, and that seems...
Oh, my gosh.
That seems kind of egregious.
It's very mean. I hope he didn't get any presents.
But jeez. I also, like, the kid didn't do this. To me, this is always like, this is a parental decision. So... you know, I'm going to send my kid because I don't want the kid to not have somebody at his birthday party. So my son will be there at the birthday party today. But we'll see. I'm curious of attendance. Very curious about the attendance.
What time is said party?
1:30.
Before the game, but yeah, it's a little bit later on. I mean, it might have been like an 11 o'clock thing, but I don't know,
man. I put it when people get married on Super Bowl Sunday or do things like this. I mean, there's just certain things you don't do, and this is one of them.
Asking for trouble.
I think it's rude. I think it's rude.
I was spending like probably 10, 15 minutes today just looking for the like fun absurdity stats that go with like this run that the Chiefs are on. And like, there's so many, like it's kind of endless. The idea that Patrick Mahomes with a win today would have more Super Bowl trophies than he has playoff losses, I think was my favorite. If he wins today, he'll have 4 Lombardis. He has 3 playoff losses right now. So it's an even number at the moment. And so with a win today, he'll have more Super Bowl trophies than times he's actually lost in the postseason.
Yeah, and one-score games. He has 5 now where he's lost one-score games. But I like the stat, the 71.6% of the time he's been in the Super Bowl as a starter. That's insanity. That's
so he's statistically more – that was the one I saw that said he's statistically more likely to play in a Super Bowl than to complete a pass.
That's right.
That's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And I think this kind of in a way goes to, it adds to Mahomes' greatness, Cody, where, you know, we just had Speck on and he was talking about, you know, Mahomes might have more to chase Tom Brady in, but in terms of just, if you compare them side by side, forget the head-to-head stuff, Patrick Mahomes has a chance really with this game to do something that it took Brady longer to do. And also, along with that stuff, the absurd numbers that you just brought up and Bink said with the Super Bowl chances, like there's something about him that is, to me, it's Brady-esque, I guess, if you will, but the ante is upped a little bit with him where he is so good in these moments, and whenever you need a play to be made, he is Michael Jordan, where I know that Tom Brady was that to a point, but you cannot give him the ball back. Because Tom Brady, at times, I'm sure, most of the time scored, but you literally cannot leave Mahomes enough time because he is going to go down and score. It's just a statistical fact at this point that he's going to do it. It makes him so much more dangerous and something that maybe people don't talk about as much.
Yeah, historically in the NFL, it's about a 50-50 shot. They ran the numbers like in the data tracking era, so it's probably like the last 5 to 7 years, maybe a little longer. Maybe, you know what, I think I saw since 2010. All right, so since 2010, the way it's about 50-50 shot. If it's under 2 minutes and your team either needs, it's a tie game or you trail, so you have to have a score, right? It's under 2 minutes, you have to score. You're either tied or you're trailing, so you need points. Patrick Mahomes is perfect. Mm. He has scored on every single one of those drives.
You know and what so, else is crazy?
What? Woody?
46% of Andy Reid's coaching seasons, he's been in the AFC or NFC title game.
I know. Like a couple more years in a row, and it's going to be 100 or 50. He's going to be statistically more likely to play in those. I always go back to like the chasing Brady stuff is interesting because no matter what, even if he loses this game today, which I don't think he will, this is already the best start to any NFL career ever. Nobody's done more in their 20s than this. By the normal metric, number of Super Bowl rings, number of Super Bowl MVPs, and number of total MVPs or Pro Bowls or any statistical measure you want to go by, this is the best start to a career anyone's ever had. But like the chasing Brady stuff, the only thing that he doesn't have is time. Like I can't manufacture time. I can't just add 10, 15 more years to his career and just extrapolate out because like that's the only thing he's chasing is can he keep doing this over time? Because there's no argument right now that if you just side by side to age 29, Mahomes has him.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's been extremely fun to follow, I think, just over the course of my time here in Kansas City and just, you know, getting people are not going to respect them until they come back with the documentary in like 10 to 15 years, but they're going to realize his greatness for what it actually has been over these last few seasons. All right, Cody, it is time for a pick. And who do you think is going to win? I feel like I shouldn't even ask that question. I know who you think is going to win. What's the score?
I know people could, like, outside of Kansas City, be like, you're all homers every time we send out this tweet after the show. And, like, someone, some of their markets, like, you guys are homers. I'm like, they keep winning every time. I'm not a homer. I'm right. I've been correct every time I've picked the Chiefs for, like, 3 consecutive years in the playoffs. And so, yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think it's high scoring. I think Philly can do a lot of things offensively. I think the Chiefs can do things offensively. I don't care that both of these were two of the top 6 scoring defenses. I think it'll be a high scoring game. I like the Chiefs 30-24.
Sounds good. Thank you, Cody. Enjoy the game.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, with that, we're going to go right out to Mac as well. Mac Morey, shout out to Mac joining the show. What's up, Mac? How's it going from New Orleans?
What is going on, guys? The day has finally come. We are here. Let's go. I'm ready. I've had my Creole. I've had my gumbo. I've had my jambalaya.
Let's go. I
had a couple hand grenades last night, and now it's time for me to watch a Chiefs dub. I'm so excited.
One of the things that
and
we
talk
about. You can go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and I'm a little worried, though, because a little concerned because I'm seeing a lot of green, a lot of Eagles fans out here, but I'm not concerned about the Chiefs. I'm just concerned because I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight with so many Eagles fans crying around my hotel room. All the sobbing in the city is going to keep people up at night. So, yeah, the Chiefs may be outnumbered fans-wise, but I don't think it's going to matter.
I will say this. We had Dusty on earlier and Bob earlier. You guys had a hell of a week and provided some great coverage. You are deservedly exhausted, I bet, at this point of the week. But you're also excited, of course, because the game is today. And you get to go to it as well. That is a special moment. What is the thing that you're looking forward to most about actually being able to go?
Oh, man. Going on the field after the game, I mean, getting to hold that red and yellow confetti, hopefully, and just getting to kind of take in history in person. I mean, I'm going to have to pinch myself like I have all week multiple times that I'm getting this opportunity. Just so thankful to be here. The amount of experiences and people that I've met this week. It's too many to count. It's honestly incredible. It's gonna take time to have this all set in and go through every moment and be like, oh my gosh, what a week. And I mean, I know you guys have done this before too. It feels like a year and 5 seconds all in 1 week, all at the same time. So it's just been insane, and I'm so excited that I'm gonna go be able to be there and cheer on the boys.
So we haven't been able to hear you much on the air, of course, because you've been running around all over the place. Who is your X factor in this game? I know that Carrington brought it up, and we've kind of brought it up throughout as well with Rob and some of the text line as well. Somebody who's unexpected always comes up big in these Chiefs Super Bowls, whether it's Kadarius Toney or Sky Moore or Nick Bolton. There's an unsung hero. Who do you think is going to be that person today?
Well, I can give you two. I'll go one on offense, one on defense. And you guys can tell me if you think I'm wrong, Jay, Drew. I think they go more man coverage today. I think that leans in an advantage for Xavier Worthy. They'll focus on Travis Kelce. He's not at his days where he's picking apart man coverage. He's more of that zone guy. So Xavier Worthy, who's been the one guy's been able to get open on tight man coverage, I think that's going to be huge for him. I imagine he's going to have at least 6 or 7 targets, probably 5 or 6 catches. Wouldn't mind seeing him get in the end zone and have a jet sweep or two as well. And it's not just the amount of times he gets the ball. He's also been eye candy over and over and over again, creating space in the middle of the field. And we know what Andy Reid can do with a guy with jets like Xavier Worthy. And I'll go on the defense. I mean, I think it's going to – this is cliche, but I think it's going to have to be Chris Jones up in the trenches. I mean, Saquon Barkley's where everyone and their mother knows tonight what the Eagles are going to want to do on offense. They're going to want to take long drives. They're going to have 4 to 5 yards a pop with an occasional play-action bomb to Devontae or AJ and maybe some quick slants here and there. But it's going to be a Saquon Barkley-led attack tonight. So if Chris Jones can be in the trenches mucking things up, that's going to be good news for the Chiefs.
Well – one thing is for sure, Mac. What time are you getting over there?
After this call, I'm going to go up to the room, say what's up to Dusty, and I think we're catching an Uber, and we're going to go to the Superdome, man.
Nice.
I love it, man.
Can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be incredible.
Well, enjoy it. Enjoy every minute of it. You know, you're from here. You've seen this stuff. You get to be part of it. Just enjoy every freaking moment, man. I'm shocked you're awake right now. I was like looking at Drew. I was like, man, I hope Mac's sleeping, man. I hope he was just outside, out killing it last night.
Dude, we had a great night. Went to a couple of different places, saw some fantastic like blues music, which is kind of in my main bucket list item. Oh, just incredible voices. It was fantastic. Some hand grenades were involved. But yeah, couldn't have asked for a better week. And you're right. Sleep hopefully is in my future after the next couple of days. But we've got a parade. We've got a Super Bowl. We've got a three-peat first.
All right. So I know you're picking the Chiefs. What's your score line?
Not even gonna play a game.
No, no, I'm not even gonna ask.
34-20. I think it's high scoring. I think you may see a close. Maybe even the Eagles leading at halftime. I think. After that, Chiefs take control, and you show that the calm, cool, collected nature of this team that they've been here and they've done that. It's going to overtake this Eagles team. I imagine 34-20 final score.
Sounds good, Mac. Thank you very much. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, guys. Go Chiefs.
All right. How about that? Mac's had a hell of a week, you know, all that stuff. He's been running around like crazy, but it is all very worth it in the end, especially, you know, if the Chiefs win the whole thing. We got to get to a break, Ben, because we got Josh Briscoe. Who's going to be on the line coming up here in just a second. We're a little bit behind, but we're going to do that. Briscoe's going to join. We're going to continue our Chiefs Extended Pregame next right here on 96.5 The Fan. Chiefs Extended Pregame on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for the Chiefs continues right now. Drew Nix and Jay Binkley. Quentin Morris getting you set and ready for Super Bowl 59 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. We got a little over a half hour left. Let's go right out to our Chiefs contributor, Josh Briscoe. Thank you much for joining, Josh. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. I'm feeling pretty good. The Kansas City Chiefs, let me check my notes again, play in the Super Bowl today. So it would be a bad day to be having a bad day.
Are the butterflies going now? You know, how excited are you? Are you ready to just fast forward to 5:30?
Frankly, for the first time ever, me and my wife are throwing a little Super Bowl party for a few of our friends. So I need these next few hours to continue getting the house ready. But other than that, I will take all my energy and use it into vacuuming, because that's what it is going to take at this point. I will tell you when it really settled in for me a little bit on Thursday, maybe, was kind of the realization that we're very lucky to say this. I'm pretty sure we will see the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid play in a Super Bowl again. I'm pretty sure we'll see them win more than just the one that they may win today. But we're probably never going to see them go to 3 in a row again. And we're probably never going to see them win 2 with a chance to three-peat the following year, 60 minutes away from that bit of history. So that's the thing that for me has kind of set in. Like, I'm confident. I would love it if I was wrong, but Travis Kelce won't be playing for 3 more seasons after this one with another chance to three-peat. If they're going to make this very specific, incredible bit of history, it has to happen today. This isn't a hand of Bellatro, right? You can't just re-rack it and try it again in another 5 or 10 minutes. This is not a year-long thing. This is a 3-year project that the Chiefs are right at the finish line of. So with all of that in context, yeah, I've felt the butterflies a little bit these last couple days.
So if they do win it, Josh, will the word four-peat be mentioned? Well, it's not trademarked, I don't think, at this point, like Pat Riley has three-peat.
I don't think so.
Will four-peat be discussed? Will that be discussed on the stage with Bradshaw or whoever with Fox?
I don't think Mahomes, Andy Reid, no shot. Patrick Mahomes, probably not. If Travis Kelce is up there, I don't even know if he knows what he's going to do or not. But I don't know if I would bet on the word four-peat. I would probably bet on some form of, like, let's go for 4. We'll definitely get that at the parade if we get that.
Do you think that if they win, he actually retires? Or do you think that he wants to come back? It seems like the text line, and maybe it's because their Chiefs fans are along the lines of, he's just going to come back because they have a chance to go for the four-peat. I feel like people are optimistic in that regard. But if they do win, do you actually think that he retires, or do you think that he stays?
I've really kind of gone full circle on this. So going back to the deal he signed this offseason, you know, kind of before this season, that was a 2-year, like, total restructuring new deal, right? My hunch from that point on has always been that Travis Kelce signed that deal with the intention of completing that deal. Like, that it's a 2-year deal that he really would play out next year, and then when the deal expires, he rides off into the sunset and all is well. That had always been my expectation, that he kind of had a 2-year timeline in mind. Then, as this season went on, not that he wasn't excellent, he was, but also he's a 35-year-old man playing tight end and playing a ton of snaps this year. But also, you see what he looks like in the playoffs, and you go, well, that guy could definitely play for at least one more year, and realistically, he could play the way Antonio Gates did into his literal 40s. Like, I think that's actually available. I don't think he'll do that. But hearing Clark Hunt say this week that he would be surprised if Kelce retired, that – I don't always, like, read very strongly into things Clark Hunt says in public, like he's a very buttoned-up businessman and all of that. But that kind of made me go back and revisit the preseason signing to where I think Clark is legitimately expecting him to play one more year. I think I'm still in that boat now, but it would be very hard to blame him as the most famous NFL player in the world to walk off on a three-peat. I couldn't blame him for doing that. And the thing I've said many times, and I think I even said this to you guys ahead of the AFC Championship game, I think you ought to treat it like it's Travis Kelce's last game, because I would hate to in a week from now, after the Chiefs have three-peated, there's a parade, the whole deal, and then in a week, Travis Kelce says he's done, and I go, oh, man, I didn't really appreciate the last time we got to watch Travis Kelce play football. I'm going to be in that headspace, at least hopefully, maybe up until kickoff, and think, if this is the final time we're going to see Travis Kelce in a Chiefs uniform, I want to appreciate it.
I think people kept talking about the, you know, he's washed and he slowed down. 97 catches, the second most yards per game for tight ends. It's like, yeah, but he might have slowed down a little bit, but 97 catches is still pretty damn productive.
That's the thing, Bink. It only looks like he has slowed down if you are comparing him to former Travis Kelce. Like, if you compare him to anyone else in football, even knowing he's 35, and again, I'm not here to gaslight anybody, 35-year-old Travis Kelce and 31-year-old Travis Kelce have different breakaway speed, right? Like, we saw throughout the regular season, many times Kelce would catch a pass and go down instead of getting hit by, you know, 3 defensive linemen coming back to knock him out after a 4-yard gain.
what we're seeing now in the playoffs, I think, is just him kind of pushing that full extent of his powers. And this also was after a season where he was a really good blocker. He's always been underrated in that aspect. But if you're going to talk about him from a physical perspective at age 35, that might be just as impressive as the 97 catches. It's the fact that he was so frequently used. And I don't know if you guys saw the clip. Bill Belichick talked about this a week or two ago. Talk about showing Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce clips, both about adjusting his speed as a route runner and about being a smart blocker and being wise with the angles that he has. Kelce still has all of that in spades. So I hope we get to see more of him. I think that so much of that conversation this year was really overblown because we're used to seeing him put up 1,300 yards when he needs to. But ultimately, I think he had a really, really good season. If his name wasn't Travis Kelce, you'd be saying, wow, I'm seeing this box score here. Who's this young fellow the Chiefs got to put up 97 and 823 from the tight end position? That's pretty impressive.
And I think people are forgetting that he had 90-plus catches. That is the longest active streak in NFL history. History. As far as 90-plus catch seasons, he's now tied with Larry Fitzgerald ever. So, yeah, it's still a productive year.
Yeah.
And that streak even could have extended. I don't know what the cutoff is for 80 catch seasons, but I pulled up his Pro Football Reference page since we're talking about it. And before he went 103 in 2018, it was 83 and 85. So he hasn't had fewer than 85 catches since 2016. Do you remember where we all were in 2016?
I was in college.
Yeah, seven years.
That was
it. 7 years, 1,000 yards. I think Whitten did it four times, Gonzalez four times.
How old were you, Quentin, in 2016?
I was in high school.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce's been balling since Q's been in high school. Briscoe, thank you so much for joining. Before we get you out of here, what is your pick? I don't have to ask who you think is going to win because I think I know the answer to that, but what's the score?
I got 30-24. I am going Chiefs. I was going to put a quick spotlight on Joe Tooney at left tackle. Obviously, will they move Josh Sweat over there? Keep an eye on Trey Smith. I'm going to have an absolute Pacific Rim-style battle with Jalen Carter. Hopefully, they don't move Jalen Carter over to Mike Taliendo's side. The Eagles largely haven't done that. And then a big game, hopefully, for either Shamari Connor in the slot, or maybe we actually get to see Trent McDuffie in the slot for once and deal with Devontae Smith that way. I think the Chiefs do enough on both sides of the football. I think we're talking about a parade a little bit later in the week. I think we're talking about a three-peat on Monday.
Sounds good, Briscoe. Thank you. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, fellas. You do the same.
All right, that's Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor here for on 96.5. The fan, two scores of 30-24, and then scores of 34-20. Bink and I are going to break down our keys to the game next, and then, of course, we're going to get to our game predictions. Me, Bink, Quentin, all going to predict who we think is going to win Super Bowl 59. That comes next as Chiefs extended pregame. We're with you here for the next half hour on 96.5 The Fan. All right, we are about 5 hours away from the kickoff of Super Bowl 59 between your Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris, giving you about 25 more minutes of Chiefs extended pregame right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5. The Fan, as Xavier Worthy said. All right, Bink, we're going to give some keys to the game here before we take our final break and give our picks. What is the biggest key to the game for you? I don't know if this is defense. I don't know if it's offense. I didn't know this at all until you're giving it right now. What is your biggest key to the game today?
I think it's, there's two. Offensively, it's Patrick Mahomes just airing it out.
Yep.
Just being that St. Joe Chiefs. I just want to see the ball aired out. Don't think Philadelphia's quite expecting it. The long, methodical drives. I mentioned the Chiefs have the longest drives over 3 minutes, 8 seconds all year. Longest drives at 169 drives they've had. And defensively, stopping Saquon Barkley. I mean, I know that's been the big talk. Go out there. Get the tackles, sure tackles, not the kind that we've seen where they break tackles. I hate when the Chiefs don't wrap up and bring the guy down. Sure tackling for the Kansas City Chiefs, forcing Philadelphia to kind of abandon Saquon Barkley.
I think for me, I'll start out with the Chiefs defense and then I'll move to the offense. I think the battle between Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, and the corners, Jamari Connor, whoever's in the slot, Nazi Johnson, whatever the case is, against those Eagles wide receivers. Something that we've seen struggle, of course, over the course of the season is the Chiefs stopping the tight end. If you were to take a player to beat you, I don't think Dallas Goedert is going to beat you single-handedly, but him getting some bigger plays, if they can limit him in some way, shape, or form, if they can just take away A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith in some way, shape, or form, it significantly enhances their chances, I think, of winning. One thing we've also seen the Chiefs kind of struggle with at times is Jamari Connor and Nazi Johnson coverage, as you all well know. the Eagles don't have much depth at wide receiver outside of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Like, yes, they have Jahan Dotson, but he isn't a world beater. You know, they're not going to have Paris Campbell take you out. If you can, that's the matchup to me. I know the trenches is easy to say, but defensively, can Trent McDuffie or Jalen Watson lock down and limit A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith in terms of just not even getting an interception or anything like that, but just being in their hip pocket? Make Jalen Hurts have to make a perfect throw to get them the ball. Because I think your chances are maybe a little bit better if Jalen Hurts has to make a perfect throw than if it's more of a jump ball situation or anything like that. Because Jalen, we both think he's a great quarterback, Bank. Him placing a ball perfectly, really difficult to do. Trent McDuffie is always in the hip pocket of guys. I think he might be able to single-handedly limit maybe Devontae Smith if they go toe-to-toe. Just because Trent McDuffie's that good of a corner.
But you got to get there. That's one thing. If you blitz, you have to get there, because if you go there,
that's another
you
thing
slide
too.
Slide off Jalen Hurts and he picks up a first down, you're one defender less. You can't do that. But the timely Spags blitzes, like McDuffie, make it a difference. And against Josh Allen, they decide to, you know, corner blitz him there at the end. But the timely corner blitzes from Steve Spagnuolo and getting there, and Trent McDuffie, very good at getting around that edge as a defensive back blitzing the quarterback.
Yeah, obviously everybody likes to talk about the players and stuff, but I think the chess match between Spags and Kellen Moore is going to be one to watch.
You mean the Saints' new coach?
Yes. It certainly seems like that.
That's a distraction.
I want to add on to what you guys were saying.
Yeah.
Just to sort of wrap up that point in a nice present, I think it's just about keeping Jalen Hurts guessing, right? Like being able to make Jalen Hurts feel uncomfortable even when you aren't sending a blitz. Maybe, you know, you have the entire game, you have Nick Bolton really close up to the line, and he doesn't blitz at all, like we saw in the championship game against the Bills. And then finally he goes. Like those sort of things, just keep Jalen Hurts for thinking for another half second, and that gives everybody else on the defense an advantage, because Jalen Hurts, these plays come down to all of those little things, especially with the talented roster that the Eagles and the Chiefs have. And so trying to find that advantage by keeping Jalen Hurts guessing, make him audible out of stuff because he thinks a run blitz is coming, and then you drop out of it, and now you're in zone, and you're still in the perfect spot for it. Keep Jalen Hurts guessing.
For the Chiefs offense, I think to me the key is Xavier Worthy's got to have a big game and sort of impact in some way, shape, or form, whether he's getting jet sweeps, whether you're getting him the ball on screens, whether it's a deep shot, Bank, you know, and just airing it out. Because I think the one storyline that nobody's talked about enough is the Eagles secondary. To me, that is the best part of their defense.
Number one in the NFL.
It is not the defensive line. I don't know why in the world they've been talking so much about Jalen Carter. It doesn't make any sense to me, because when you talk about Darius Slay, Quinyon Mitchell, a guy that you loved in the draft.
Love Quinyon Mitchell.
Cooper DeJean. Nobody talked about big game Slay like that. They got Reed Blankenship. Zach Bond, of course, the leader in tackles, I think, in the NFL. I think that secondary-wise, I know that Zach Bond's a linebacker, but secondary-wise, that is the strength of their team.
Their pass rush isn't what it's been the last couple of years as far as getting to the quarterback.
That's why I don't know why people are talking so much about Jalen Carter. Is I think the secondary and the sacks that they do get for a defensive tackle to lead your team in sacks, your secondary has got to be A1, one of the best in the league, which they are. I think that the Eagles secondary is absolutely pivotal in this game. And the Chiefs can, if you can get Xavier Worthy going, if you can find those little pockets of space where if they do go zone, Travis Kelce gets the ball, Juju Smith-Schuster has a big game, D-Hop has a big game. That's how you, I think, can win this game. Or if you can get yours against the secondary, you put yourselves in a fantastic position to win. And I think it kind of all starts with Xavier Worthy.
Well, we talk about Mahomes and throwing the ball downfield. Obviously, the game's going to go through his hands.
Yeah.
He loves to run the ball a little bit more. He's a little bit more
aggressive.
That's a bit of
an X factor as well. The scramble,
postseason.
Yeah.
That is huge. When Patrick Mahomes gets out there and scrambles. But that's made the difference. Even with the bad ankle, him scrambling outside the pocket has made the difference. Yeah. And it's kept the defenses honest. If they can utilize, I don't care if he ends up being the leading rusher. It's a Super Bowl. I wouldn't be shocked if he was, to be honest with you.
Somebody texted in from the 816. Who's more athletic on their feet, Mahomes or Hurt? I think it's still Jalen Hurts, I think, in terms of athleticism. Mahomes is sneaky athletic.
Timely.
Perfect timing for Mahomes every single time, it seems like, to get that one run that it's like the knife is in, and it's just the twist of the knife a little bit. Well, you know, that's what it is. It's that dagger.
I've always thought the Chiefs running game, even though this year has been a different style of play, should be one of the tops, because you're not facing 8-man fronts.
Yeah.
And you're not, because everybody's worried about Mahomes throwing downfield. So the minute they start creeping up, go downfield. When they start backing off, that's when you see the Mahomes nice runs.
One final break for us. Coming up next, we are going to give our game predictions for Super Bowl 59. Who does Quentin think going to win? Who do I think is going to win? Who does Bank think is going to win? That comes up next right here on Chiefs Extended Pregame on 96.5 The Fan. All right, we're back on Chiefs Extended Pregame. Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris producing the show for us. Thank you, Q, for doing this the whole time. It's the Chiefs Extended Pregame show on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Chiefs. Before we get to the official radio network pregame with Dan and Hughes, Dan Israel, Josh Klingler, and Mitch Holtis here in just a moment. Before we do that, and we get to our game picks, Tom Brady is calling the game tonight, Bink. And you and I were just talking about before coming back, you know, he's done a really nice job, I think, in my mind, at least, of being neutral. Like, he's recognized Pat's greatness. He has talked about it in a positive light. He hasn't been negative or thrown any shade. Are you looking forward to the broadcast tonight?
Well, here's the thing. And could he throw a lot of shade? He wouldn't. He respects Mahomes.
I don't think he would.
But he is a part owner of the Raiders now. I mean, we can't forget that. So how would that be a bad look all of a sudden the part owner of a team in the Chiefs' same division was trashing the Chiefs? So you would hear him say positive things about it. But there's a healthy respect between Mahomes and Brady. It started 2018 when Brady won. By the way, with the old rule where one team can win the coin toss and go down and score a touchdown and win,
right.
But he went and sought out Pat Mahomes after the game and talked about it. But it was I've seen some good stuff with Brady when he was talking about Mahomes, and he talks about his teammates. And he said, Brady said, that's when I knew that, you know, he was the real deal, because he's talking about his teammates. He wants to win for somebody else. And you see it with Patrick, too. Like when Sky Moore got that touchdown in the Super Bowl,
who
ran over there and grabbed the football? It was Mahomes. He's done this with other rookies, too. He goes over there and makes sure these guys.
He looks out for
them. He looks out for them. So he wants to do it for his teammates, and I think that's the big difference.
All right, we're going to get to game predictions. We're going to start out with Q, then I'll go, and then Bink will wrap us up. Quentin, who do you think's winning the Super Bowl? What's your score prediction?
I got 23-26 Chiefs. I think that the Eagles are going to try and go for 2 points at some point, and they're going to miss. Maybe there's a penalty, and they try and do a tush-push, and they fail like we saw the Bills attempt to do in the championship game. The Chiefs are built to beat every team by 3 points. It doesn't matter how good or bad you are. The Chiefs are winning a one-score game. They're on a 17-1-score game winning streak, longest in NFL history. So the Chiefs are going to continue that streak, and they're going to beat him by a field goal.
All right. So the reason I asked to go second, we'll have Bank wrap it up. Everybody's picked Chiefs. I said from the jump that I am not a Chiefs hater, and this game is going to be really tight. It's going to be really good. Xavier Worthy, I think, is going to need to have a big game. I think Chris Jones has the potential to wreck this game single-handedly if he can get through and put some pressure on Jalen Hurts. George Karloftis, Bink, and I, you've talked about him being a little bit more of an underdog, a guy that people haven't really talked about much. He's had an outstanding postseason. We know Trent McDuffie is great. Harrison Butker, the best kicker in all of football, big-time kicks. I think this game is close. I think it's tight. 26-23, I think the Chiefs are not going to three-peat, and it's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles who win. And I really think, I'm telling you, nobody's talked about this Eagles secondary enough where I think in the end they're going to be able to make enough plays and make it really difficult. I said, if Xavier Worthy has 7 for 80 and a touchdown, I think they win the game. I think the Chiefs will win the game. If they can limit Xavier Worthy, that is the key, I think, to them actually winning this game. The secondary, best in football, as you've said, Bank. I think people aren't buying into the Eagles secondary as much as their front seven is not as good as it was, but the secondary is so freaking good. I think the Eagles, I genuinely think this, I think the Eagles win the game.
Good job saving your hate to the end of the four-hour show, you and your Bengals.
I am always honest, Quentin, and I am always going to talk honestly. Well, I'm making an honest pick. I think it's going to be a good game. In the end, I just want a great game, Bank. I think it's going to be another good one.
Here's the way I look at it. The Chiefs have won 9 straight playoff games. That's only one behind the Patriots for the record. It's in a dome. Mahomes likes domes. He's thrown for over 300 yards a game in a dome. He's 11-0, 26 touchdowns, 3 picks inside domes. Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator of the Eagles, he's faced Mahomes 8 times, whether as a head coach or defensive coordinator. He is 0-8 against Patrick Mahomes. So that's in the favor as well for Patrick Mahomes. Only 5 times in his career, regular season or postseason, Mahomes has lost by more than 1 score. Putting all together,
Who do you guys think wins MVP?
Mahomes. So that means the Chiefs win 27-24.
Who do you think gets MVP?
I don't remember. I think it was Rob that said, you know, these awards are very narrative driven. And yeah, I think it's the same with MVP. They get...
It's not always the quarterback, but usually
it's not always the quarterback, but usually when it isn't the quarterback, it's because the quarterbacks had mediocre games. Why do you think Julian Edelman won it in the Rams Patriots? You had Cooper Kupp won it in the Bengals Rams. Like, it's just because default is the winning quarterback, and if it's not the winning quarterback, it's because they had mediocre games.
Bank, has a team ever won the Super Bowl and the MVP not been on the winning team? I'm asking you because you'd be the one to know this, I think. I feel like there has been, like, one time.
Was it the Dallas Cowboys?
And I don't know if it was I don't think it was recently either. The reason I asked that is because
it would have been, if it did happen, it would have been in the 70s. But I'm not sure. Was it, trying to think back. See,
I think Saquon wins MVP.
Lynn Swan, Frank Harris, they won the Super Bowl. Harvey Martin, Randy White won MVP, but I think they ended up winning the Super Bowl that year too. So
okay,
I can't. Anyways, think of
when. I was just curious to see, like, to wonder if the Chiefs win, could Saquon having a really big, like, I feel like they kind of go hand in hand. Where if Mahomes has a really great game, nobody from the Eagles is winning MVP. If Saquon goes off, or if the Eagles win, Saquon's got to go off to have that game or have a really good game where Mahomes wouldn't be able to win MVP in the same breath as the Eagles winning. I don't think, even if he throws for over 300, you know, like that historically has said that he would. But yeah, those are our predictions. To run through them one more time here before we get out of here. The picks for everybody at the station. Alex Gold, 34-27, Chiefs.
Chuck Howley from
Chuck
the Cowboys.
Howley. Good
That's
call,
who
Bink.
Won the MVP and didn't win the game.
Quentin, we can only ask Bink, because Bink would be the guy that would know this sort of stuff. Alex Gold says 34-27, Chiefs. Fesco, of course, 35-0, Chiefs. Dusty Likens, 34-20. Chiefs, CDOT, 27-20, Chiefs. Rob, 31-28, Chiefs. Speck goes 27-21, Chiefs. Cody, 30-24, Chiefs. Mac, 34-20, Chiefs. Briscoe, 30-24, Chiefs. Quentin, 26-23, Chiefs. I, of course, am the curmudgeon. I have the Eagles winning 26-23. And Bank Scott, the Chiefs winning 27-24. Chiefs Radio Network pregame with Dane and Hughes, Dan Israel, Josh Klingler, and Mitch Holtis comes up next. Thank you so much for listening. For Bank and Quentin, I am Drew Nixon. Go Chiefs. We'll see if they three-peat tonight.